It's got NFL Street 2 Unleashed.
The new one?
Yeah! And Need for Speed Underground Rivals.
Now I got something to do at work.
Oh, wow. Ain't you supposed to be like guarding the country or saving us from terrorists?
Yeah, it's one of thanks, you know. National security down the tubes by PlayStation.
Tight.
Once in the games, he said he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to the games until it dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
Alright, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 89. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And we've still got some really, really cool E3 stuff to talk about this week that we just didn't get to last week because it was so big. I downloaded more gigs of video of stuff to watch, and it's just like there's more stuff to read than you could imagine on this. It's great because there's been so many games out, or that are coming out anyway. So much footage, so many little reports and stuff.
We even seem to have missed some of the crazier stuff.
That's the cool part, because we get to do some of these today. Some of the stuff blew my mind that we saw that we've got ready to talk about today, and I'm very excited about a few of them that surprised me. And that's what I really, really enjoy. You know, like, when I know a game's coming out, like Burnout, right? I know Revenge is coming. I know it's going to be a fat game, and I'm excited for it. I can wait. But when there's something that you didn't hear about, and you're watching it, you know, or reading on it, and you're just like, oh my god, I have to play that. That makes me giggle. I really love it, you know, and that touches the spot. It's great. But we did have two little things first. We did have a short email and then a correction, because I'm an idiot. I do remember we were talking about the kernel that the Xbox uses before, and I did say it's a stripped-down XP. It's not. It's 2000, which I very well knew, and I know I've said it on the show before, but it came out as XP. I apologize. Thanks. Eric corrected me, actually. He called it the Uber box runs on Windows 2000, modified Windows 2000 kernel. And we got we got something else, too. Zombie5, thank you so much. He sent us pictures of his PSP playing the show, which I think is really cool, because I wanted to see it so bad just to check it out, and I'm going to have to, like, put it on the site or something just because I wanted it so bad. It's awesome. So thanks very much. Somebody heard the cry for help. Ye ask and ye shall receive.
That's right.
Yes, that was his email title. So. We got an email from, calls himself Vex. Yo, C4 and Kobar. I was at EB Games the other day, and something caught my eyes, and it was GameCubes at a very reasonable price, and included a free game of my choice. I like that. I don't like this, you get Metroid, or you get Mario Kart, you know?
He didn't say, but I imagine it was from a selection. I know you just pick the newest $50 game. And
yeah, it was probably even like maybe from like their used section of games, maybe. But still, you know, it's hey, if I could pick from a free game from a large selection and I wasn't locked into whatever Nintendo wanted me to have, I'd be pretty happy still. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. I never thought about getting a GameCube before, but for some strange reason, I felt the urge to have one. Yes. Well-priced hardware has that effect on me, too. I think I bought more than one Game Boy based on that right there. Oh, I'd like to play this game. I have to go out and buy a Game Boy, the pack, the accessories. Yeah, I'm pretty bad about that. So I got it, and I picked up Zelda The Wind Waker as my free game. I think the main reason I didn't buy a GameCube before was because of how Nintendo made this Zelda game look. I was crushed. I think everybody was after seeing that great space world footage. And I know, remember, this was a huge thing. In fact, they had, you know, I'm sure you've seen this. They have those, like, online petitions all the time, you know, people trying to save whatever it is that they, you know, think is so important. And then they get, you know, all these petitions. I remember seeing petitions and stuff for this and write a letter to Nintendo and tell them how pissed you are and all this kind of stuff. And it didn't work, you know, because, what was it? This is my game. Make your own game, right? So, let's see. But that urge to play the new Zelda game still lingered in me, and I tell you what, I'm glad I decided to try out Wind Waker for myself. Screenshots don't tell you a thing about this game. I was completely blown away by how animated the world is and how expressive the characters are. I haven't felt that level of expression since games like Final Fantasy VI and Super Mario RPG on the Super Nintendo. The Wind Waker is a very fun game to play and shouldn't be judged by its screenshots or video clips. I know I'm a few years late, but I just wanted to drop that line. Peace, Vex.
What? Well, it's definitely worth free.
Yes, if we could give this game a rating, free. There we go.
It's certainly worth that, but I mean, it's, I don't know.
The revised, I don't remember what we gave it before, but because it's, I don't know, my problem with it was it wasn't fun. It felt way too short, as if I played through two or three dungeons and it was over.
Yeah, I mean, we always knock the graphics, but at least for me, it's more just because of the kiddie style.
Yeah, it's not the graphics, because I've seen some cel-shaded stuff that blew my mind. It's not
and
that.
Even
it's
in Wind Waker, he is right. They are very expressive.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff going on in the graphics, but it feels like a Saturday morning cartoon.
It does. That was one of the biggest problems that I had with that game, on top of the floating all over the damn world.
Right,
I mean,
right.
That was a big, big problem in that game. It just, I don't know why they didn't have it set up so everything was closer together, you know, but it just, there was a lot of unnecessary time spent floating around your little raft, and it didn't do anything, and I don't know, I didn't care for it too much.
More power to you that you like it and got it for free, no less.
That's good, though. Yes, yeah. You know, and plus, it's the point is that we're not here to tell you, no, this game sucks, don't buy it. It's more like, this is what we thought of this game, be aware that it's coming out.
Yeah, there's a million different review sites out there.
Exactly. And
they're more qualified than we are.
Yes. Maybe they're not so mean to you as we are, too, so... We tend to talk about whatever we want, to hell with everything else, damn it. But we did have, you know, we missed something very, very big on the Nintendo Revolution last week that we were kind of pissed, but we
forgot to say it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we were running over time. It was like 7 million degrees in here. I was ready to die. And this was very important. Like Nintendo still hasn't given us any specs. They haven't said they're being very tight-lipped. They're not letting out too much. We've got pictures. Pictures of the Revolution. Great. Okay, and you know what
of else? Which it's going to change anyway, he said.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
This is just a mock. He said, this is just a mock-up, and it will change. It's going to be basically like this, but smaller, is what he said.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, that's not so bad. But three things I do know about all, or four things I know about all three consoles. This is. I don't even remember where I saw this, but it was funny to mention that every single one has backwards compatibility, wireless controllers, high definition, and can stand horizontally or vertically. I don't know why they've all decided that these are the great ideas, but you know, hey, that's cool. High def is great. Now, who's going to buy me the TV?
Backwards compatibility is cool.
That is a huge one, which is what brings us to talking about the Revolution today, because we have nothing else to say on it, because there's not that much information. But it's backwards compatible with GameCube games, which is great, because, you know, I can sit there and play the GameCube games I have and get rid of my GameCube. I'll probably have to buy some stupid little Game Boy adapter, you know, to play the Game Boy games if they ever come up with something like that. I really would. I like playing them on the TV here. And the coolest news.
It's also compatible with Super Nintendo, Nintendo, N64, all of them. It is 100% backwards compatible.
And they're going to be downloadable, though. Mm-hmm. Not like you're going to be plugging in your old Nintendo cart.
I'm wondering how much they're going to charge for such a thing.
Yeah, the cost, nobody knows how much it's going to cost yet. All I could find was, like you told me that, you know, and I was just, like, blown away. So I tried to look into it, and all I could find was that nobody knows how much it's going to cost, and they're going to be downloadable, which is cool because not, you know, great. Let's say it did have a Nintendo 64 cartridge slot on it. Let's just say it did. How lame would that be?
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to go around and find these stupid games again, you know, and dig them up in some used bin somewhere just to play Killer Instinct one more time. You know, whatever. That would suck. But they're going to be downloadable, and that's
on
not
the flash drives.
Oh, they download onto those little flash drives?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I was, for some reason, under the impression you would dial up some Nintendo server thing on your... I wonder how that's going to work, then.
Latest thing that I've heard is that they're downloading onto the flash drives.
That's pretty cool. I wonder how they plan on keeping this in control, though. I mean,
well,
everybody knows there's a lot of ROMs floating around on the internet of these things. And I'm sure that Nintendo doesn't want you to be able to play these
especially on your Revolution. Especially Super Nintendo and regular Nintendo.
And 64 games, you know. I mean, there's a lot of them floating around. And I mean, God, can you imagine? You could almost put every single Nintendo ROM on, like, a gig flash, a little memory card.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure
you'd have hella space left over.
Probably.
Those things are tiny.
You know, yeah, they are. They're really small, which is going to be great, though. For somebody who doesn't know anything about the emulation scene and any of that stuff, you know, somebody who doesn't know. And Nintendo makes this really easy to do. You know, like, you turn on your Revolution, you click, you know, go get games or whatever, you know, and you click this button and it takes you to the site and you put in your credit card and you're like, I want to play Bionic Commando today, you know, and bam, it downloads it to your thing, and you don't have to do anything other than that. And then, you know, then you go back to your little menu and you pick, you know, play games that are on your card or whatever it is that you have to do. If they make it nice and easy, that'll be really, really awesome. Because I think this is
and
a
cheap.
Great idea. And it better be cheap. It better be a dollar tops.
Yeah. For a regular Nintendo
game? For a Nintendo
games?
Game?
Oh,
yeah. It better be a dollar for Super Nintendo. I'd hate to... I guess I could see $2 for that, and I guess I could see maybe $5 for a Nintendo 64 game. Because you know what? I would pay $5 in a hot minute to be able to play Killer Instinct Gold again. Mm-hmm. I love that game. You know, it's one of the greatest games I've ever played. I love that fighting game. And
I think even $5 for any of them is not too terrible.
I wouldn't pay $5 for most Nintendo games, though.
No.
They're easily worth that, you know?
Frankly, there should be a handful of free stuff.
Yeah, like things to play. Oh, they might have some of the Mario games. No, because people will buy that.
Yeah.
They'll probably have
some of the some of the more, like, out there and on the side titles and whatnot.
Like Solar Jetman.
Yeah.
That game was awesome.
Although, frankly, a lot of those they probably just won't have available.
Yes, that's the other
because
thing.
Because there are thousands of these.
There's way too many, and that, yeah, I actually have that written down here, too, on the notes, that almost all games available is what they're saying. They're not saying every game, they're saying almost, I imagine there's some kind of a licensing issue there, you know, where they can't get all the licenses that they want for every game, because, you know, other companies hold on to those, and after, it's been so long now that I'm sure the rights are back in the rightful owners, you know, and Nintendo doesn't have a license to use a lot of these games anymore. And a lot of companies don't want you to see these games anymore, you know, because they're going to say, you know, oh my god, this game has the Capcom logo on it, and Jesus, it was so old, and, you know, we didn't like it, and look how far we've come, we wanted to buy a new one. You're going to run into some of that, too. So I
but they don't want you to be playing the old stuff. They want you to be paying $50 for the new stuff.
Yeah, but still, you know, I mean, if they get enough people, like, there's a lot of things that I would love to have, like Bionic Commando. Which here's the thing though, when I talk about Bionic Commando, and you talk about like on the Super Nintendo something like say Mario Kart, okay, and then you go from Super Nintendo to Nintendo 64, and you're looking at stuff like let's say GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. That's three different controllers. I'm really, really curious of how this thing is going to... The controller for this thing, really. I mean...
I really wish they had shown that. What the controller looks like.
I bet they didn't, because they don't know.
Could be.
I bet they have no idea yet, and I mean... With this whole ROM thing, this whole emulation thing, I'm excited about that. I think that's really, really a cool thing. Because this is something that people have wanted forever. I mean, I remember going to buy a Super Nintendo, thinking to myself, God, I sure hope this plays my Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. You know, and it didn't happen. And then Sega, when I had my Genesis, they had that little converter thing that you could play your old SMS games. And yeah, God damn, that was cool. You know, that was awesome. So I don't know how any of this is going to work out, but at least, you know, people can, you know, look into it now and keep an eye on it because they know. Xbox 360 news. Don't worry, we're not doing the whole show on Xbox 360. I got chewed the other day on IRC for that, by the way. Because I'm not too excited about the PlayStation 3. Mm. And I got attacked because I think the Xbox 360 looks more promising. Big surprise there. Microsoft's the great evil, I guess, but I don't see what's so great about Sony.
Well,
you know what's not right? You know what it is about Sony? They're not Microsoft. That's what everybody likes about them, I think.
I think the PS3 looks really cool. The problem is we don't know how much it actually is true.
That's exactly
Sony has a very, very... bad track record of just totally blowing their shit out of proportion.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's sad, but, you know, hey, they sell a lot of consoles, so who's going to tell them what? Now, the only little thing I had about the 360 was that, and I'm sure everybody heard that it's going to be out in November already, but there's possible that people didn't hear that. And what we've got now is there was some interview somewhere, and I was reading it, and they've basically confirmed the price and the time. And they plan on launching it everywhere, across the world. At the same time in November of this year.
That's crazy.
That's hardcore. So they said it was something.
That's going to get so screwed up.
Yeah, it is. You know how many
numbers of product that is?
That's a lot.
At Christmas time?
That was a big concern, too, is whatever little interview I was reading was saying something about we have to have enough.
Yeah.
They were saying that, you know, yeah, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this right, but it's going to be a while. And they said something about, like, starting production in like, July or something. Of the first ones, and then, you know, making sure they work, and then just cranking them out, and so that they have enough for a worldwide release all at the same, I guess, the same day. Yeah. I imagine there's probably going to be a week delay. I would think that there'd be, like, a delay of a few days, but who knows, you know, who knows. And the price of this bad boy. Lots and lots and lots of speculation on the price.
Yeah, I've heard everything from $300 like the Xbox all the way up to $500.
That's exactly what I keep hearing, and what they've said... What somebody at Microsoft has said in the neighborhood of $300.
Well, there's also two different prices.
Yeah, one for the...
One has a hard drive built in, and one does not.
That's only like a $30 or $40 part, though, isn't it, based on what they were saying?
That doesn't mean they're going to charge just $30 or $40.
Well, no, I mean, well, it's a whole lot less than that to manufacture. And if it's only like a 20 gig drive, it's, yeah, 20, 30, 40 bucks. I guess that's about right. Well, maybe not 20, it's too low, but I'm speculating the price is going to be $360.
All right.
Xbox 360, it would tie right in. They could slap an extra $10 on top of it, because I'm sure they were probably thinking $350, $400. $400 is way too high. You know, it just looks not good. You see $399, ugh. $349, hey, this thing's brand new. But hey, and if they could put another $11 on the top, and people wouldn't think, they'd think, hey, that's a neat little gimmick, $360. I could see that happening. So that was it for Xbox 360 news. Let's talk about some PC games.
Okay.
Before we get to the old stuff, you know, because we've got, let's go to PC games, because we didn't really get to see a whole lot of PC games that were really, really super exciting. I mean, there was like Oblivion.
There's a couple that are pretty crazy, though.
Yeah, there is. There are some that are absolutely freaking mind-blowing, and the ones that I want to see, I don't find anything out about. Like Fallout 3, we know it's being worked on by Bethesda, or whatever they're called. The guys who do Oblivion and the Elder Scrolls games, right?
Bethesda
Fallout
software.
3. How fat is that going to be? Fallout 1 and 2, huge games. We do know that they're working on this, but we don't know anything about it. Heroes of Might and Magic 5. Ubisoft bought the property from 3DO.
And Ubisoft is one of the better companies in my eyes. They do some crazy cool stuff.
They do. And I haven't seen...
I have a lot of respect for Ubisoft, because I don't know any other company that takes quite the risks as a peer developer than they do.
Yeah, not anymore, now that EA bought a whole bunch of their stock. So, those days are going out the window, my friend.
Them.
No, they're not. They do not have a controlling stake in it. They just have money in it.
Right.
So now they can push all their games out, because they do some good work. But, like... Dude, if they screw up Heroes 5, heads are going to roll. This game has a giant community, huge community, the Heroes series. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee that the Heroes series between 2 and 3 has taken up more of my gaming time, I guarantee it, than Final Fantasy XI and EverQuest 2 combined. I guarantee it. I played those games for years.
And for anybody, no one really knows, like I do, just how much... C4 plays these games. It's crazy.
It's kind of sick. And other people are finding out, though. Like other people that I don't know that well, or like I don't see that often. Like, they call here, and they're like, what are you doing? And they'll call at 5 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? I'm still playing. And my day off. I don't sleep on my days off, so I can play more. And it's like, I get out of work early so I can come home and play more, you know? It's just like, I won't answer my phone because I want to do something.
So that's saying a lot.
You know, yeah. No, I play these way too much. I had... 90 some odd, it was like 95 days of playtime. Now this is not leaving yourself logged in, this is I sat there and played. Mm-hmm. 90 some odd days. In the first like 6-7 months, I played Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Those are 24 hour days.
That's 24 hour days, yeah. No, it's a little crazy. It was like more than a third of the time or some ridiculous crap like that for like towards the end, because I stopped playing for 2 months basically.
Right.
It's a sickness. But it's a good sickness because it's fun.
But anyway, that's a lot of time played in a Might and Magic.
It is. Because they're amazing. And the only thing that I've ever seen about Might and Magic 5, or Heroes of Might and Magic 5, which somebody might find interesting, so I'm going to mention this. It's pretty old. 2 years ago, I believe, just as 3DO was falling to pieces, two screenshots were leaked. And they weren't even screenshots. They were like... pictures of the image of the bitmap itself. You know, like, it wasn't like a whole game shot or nothing. They were not that far along. This was like they designed one mob. So here's a picture of what the mob looks like. You know, it was a phoenix, I believe. And then they had a picture of, like, the Necro Town. And you had, you know, it wasn't, like, on a map or nothing. It was just the town and these two graphics. That was it. That was all we had. And that's still all I've ever seen. Then E3 comes along, they give us a video, which is nothing but...
CGI.
Yeah, which is no help to me at all.
Cool.
Yeah.
But give some gameplay.
Yeah, that's what I want to see, because I want to know what we're getting into, because they need to totally reverse what happened in Heroes 4, and then you guys can just kiss my ass, I'll never play an MMORPG again for like 2 years. Because you know what? Hunter is just as bad as I am when it comes to this game. Him and I will play on the internet for weeks. I mean, it's a sickness. This is the game that I played where I didn't sleep for 2 months.
Right.
It was Heroes 2 at the time. Oh my god. Yeah. But anyway, moving along with PC games. Spore.
This game, oh man. Now, I am not a huge Maxis or EA fan.
Me neither.
This game looks crazy. For those that haven't seen this, you start out, it's basically kind of a combination between The Sims, SimCity, and
like
Civilization.
Like Sim-ish or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You start out as primordial soup, okay, and then you have a one-celled organism, and then that thing's eating around, and it multiplies and then evolves. And then basically, you're evolving this character from primordial soup, this race, from primordial soup all the way to taking over galaxies.
That is fast.
You move from that to sea creatures, and then you go to land, and then you become a tribal thing, and then you have cities, and then you have a space, and then galaxies, and it's just this massive thing. Some of the crazier little tidbits that I've found is you can take the option of being connected to a master server where it will find other creatures that players have created that match your ecosystem and put them into your world.
That's the thing that I remember seeing that it seemed like really cool was that you design it, right?
Right.
This isn't like you play the game and it's the same every time.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
because
you don't
completely different.
Yeah, because you don't just like have this single celled organism that turns into a snake, and then all of a sudden you got gorillas, then you got humans, and then you've got space creatures. No.
You decide that your creature is going to have a horn on its head.
Yeah.
It's going to have a curved tail. And it's going to have three legs instead of four.
That is crazy.
And it has a dynamic animation system where the program will decide. All right, this is what your character's bone structure is like. And it has three legs and whatnot, so this is how it moves.
That is burly.
Yeah.
Good lord.
this game.
Did you see any video on this?
Huh? No, I haven't. I didn't get a chance.
I saw a video on this. Like I think last week. It was probably last week of the week, or maybe the day before we reported last week. I remember seeing it, and I remember looking at it and thinking to myself, "This is what it looks like if you could zoom into mold on like an orange." Right, like the way the cities were and stuff. You know, like they were very like. Mold looking. It was just strange. It was
but
different.
But the cities change depending on what your civilization is like, too.
Oh, my goodness. See, I wasn't sure how much of this was static setup stuff, but I remember...
I can tell, nothing is static setup stuff.
That is burly. That is a huge leap in our games now. You know, if this can get in
a
there...
A real leap, as opposed to just what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Not just more models. Not just more whatever. This is... You can draw it, and then we'll make it walk.
Yeah.
That is cool. We'll make it, and then you can tell us what it breathes, and then that'll be your environment. That is awesome.
Yeah, and then you decide whether you're going to be more of a predatory type of being or whatever. It's just...
This sounds like the ultimate version of, like, Sim Earth.
Right.
I loved Sim Earth. But this is more like Sim... Life. Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, if they pull it off, everything that they're saying is going to be in this game... I'm going to have to buy it and play it, because this is just crazy.
Yeah, this is... It's almost too good to be true.
Yeah, because this is a huge, huge goal.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. That was called Spore, and that's from Maxis. Will Wright.
Something to keep an eye out for, because this could be really cool.
And if anybody I think could pull it off, it'd probably be him. I'd like to see him and, like, what's that guy's name? Peter Molyneux from, the guy who did Black and White.
Right.
I'd like to see them two get together and put something together. Yeah, Lionhead Studios. There we go. I'd like to see them two get together and put something together. Something just epic.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. Speaking of epic, this game, coming out for the PC, Civilization IV. This game has apparently sucked up years of people's life. Not 4, but the Civilization series.
I never quite understood it.
I tried to play, and all I remember was having a bunch of Chinese dudes building railroads for me, and I was making fun of wool. That's the only thing that I remember of that game. We were at work, and I was like, "Hey, dude, check it out." And he yelled at me and cursed, flipped me off, and left the room. That was it. I don't know what it was about that game. I couldn't get into it. I think it's...
There's too much micromanagement for me.
I don't know what the problem is for me. I don't know what it is. I think it feels like two different games to me. Like, it feels like a... RTS where you're going to war, but it feels too much like SimCity where you're trying to manage your craft. But I'm like, I mean, that's well and fine and dandy and all, but I'd rather do the combat, I think.
For me, there's just too much going on at once.
This one, they actually said they're going to reduce the number of units that you control and run around with. I guess probably Civ 3 probably got a little out of hand, I'm sure, and it was just like all about huge numbers and whatnot. But from what I've heard here, you're going to have less units, but you're going to be able to customize those units. And, give them little bonuses and whatnot and, basically upgrade your guys and give them special little things.
You do that at least sort of in Alpha Centauri.
Right, and as a matter of fact, what I was reading kept referencing that game, mm-hmm. saying that, that some of the things they took seemed to be straight from that game and added that into this. They have a whole lot of cool animations in this, though. Like, you're going to be able to see when your buildings are working and doing stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of hard to see if some of your buildings and whatnot are actually doing stuff in that, because, like, you have to know that if your workers are working and whatnot, and you can't, I guess, in the other ones, but now you'll see it animated. Yeah. So that's going to help people on the map. They've got some really cool filters, so you can shut off all the crap that you don't want to have to see, mm-hmm. you know, like, if it's really hard to see where all your towns are, because you've got roads and shit flying all over the places and armies rolling around and whatnot, you can turn all that crap off. So they're going to make it a little bit easier to see. Some of the really cool-sounding things in this, like, to me, though, like, for somebody who doesn't play... they've got, you get to fight against some of the famous, you get to fight against, like, famous, like, people, right? Like, Gandhi and Napoleon.
You get to fight against Gandhi? That might be a little tough.
Well, you get his army, you know, he's got his army and whatnot. You got Napoleon, Queen Elizabeth, they got a whole bunch. I mean, there's just tons of stuff. And it's like the chess games, you know, how you fight against, like, Kasparov and whatnot.
Right, right.
They use their style. What they did in real life with their army, the game would try to play like that.
That's kind of
you know,
cool.
Yeah, I think that's a neat feature, and I'm sure somebody's going to tell me, you idiot, that was in Civ 3, but I don't know, because I didn't play it. But I think that's a cool feature if it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something neat to add. The less units I like, too, because sometimes it gets out of hand. Like, I remember Blizzard got a lot of flack over only allowing 100, having a 100-unit cap on Warcraft 3.
I think it's a good idea.
It turned out great still.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think it worked better that way. You know, it really did. This Civilization 4, they've got... Well, the customizations for the guys are like, you know, you can give them a little bit more strength, so like they'll do more damage or whatever. Like you can get like regen and whatnot, like, you know, stuff like that. But really, really interesting. They put mind control in the game. You're going to be able to have religion. And the religion that you have for your place is going to affect, like, your whole...
Right.
Whatever, you know, your whole empire. The religion that the people are going to give you different bonuses. So depending on whatever that is, you know, I didn't have any hard, you know, numbers on what the religions are and what they're going to give you, but you get to pick some kind of a religion. And they had a really neat way, I think, to add to the way that you get your bonuses. On top of, you know, you have like your little tech tree, you know, so you build this, you build that, blah, blah, blah. They've got culture. So the longer you control a place, the people stay there and develop their own culture,
mm-hmm.
and... You get to, like, set how that goes and whatnot. They get bonuses on that. Because it's like, you're a tighter-knit group of people. They want to protect their stuff more.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's their way of life now, right? So, it's harder for somebody to take over that particular town because they've been there for 100 years, right?
The longer it's there, the harder it is to get out.
Which is a kind of a neat idea. And you would get some bonuses and stuff based on that and some of your upgrades because, you know, hey, you went this route, so now you've got, you know, firecrackers or whatever because, you know, whatever, you know, early shotguns and stuff, whatever. And it's going to be extremely moddable too, which is a very nice thing for games like this because, you know, the standard maps and crap get pretty damn boring.
Very nice thing for any PC game.
It is. And that's one of the...
It's a draw that brings people back to PC.
Yeah, one of the biggest edges that computer games have on console games, I think, you know, is it's like, hey, I don't like that gun, so I'm going to change it. I want to do a map that's like this, you know, and that is awesome. But they had a map editor, AI editor, user interface editor, which is always nice for those of us that cannot stand the way that some of these games are laid out. And then, of course, like the standard, like, value editing. You know, like, you can change how much damage certain units do and whatnot, so... That's all good news for the Civilization crowd. Which is not me, unfortunately, but it sounds like I am missing out. There was another interesting game, which I didn't find out too much about, called Company of Heroes for the PC. Now, I know you're sick of hearing about this kind of stuff, and I am too. It's World War II based. Okay? Imagine that. But it's a real-time strategy. Oh, another one of those. but it has a completely destructible environment, which is what really kind of made me go, hey... That's kind of neat, because I haven't seen something like that. Like, you get Warcraft 3 where you can blow down trees, but, you know, whoop-de-doo, that's trees. You're not, like, deforming the land.
Right.
You're not knocking crap over. You know, that's pretty neat. And, I mean, it doesn't sound too interesting beyond that. I mean, it sounds like your standard World War II real-time strategy. But if you're into that sort of thing, Company of Heroes, Destructible Environment, which I thought sounded really neat, and it takes place somewhere in Europe, and you start from wherever, somewhere over there, and go destroy things along the way.
Very good.
Battlefield 2. This is going to be huge. Battlefield 1942 was a gigantic success. I heard about that game for months.
Oh, yeah.
That was all anybody talked about. And then it became Desert Combat. They had that mod, Desert Combat. And that was all anybody talked about for what seemed like years. people I know that don't even play games like that were playing that game.
Mm.
And the new one is not based in, you know, 1943 or whatever. It's Battlefield 2, and it looks like it's all modern day stuff, man. We were,
which is good.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too.
I'm getting real sick and tired of the whole world, the old past war thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And specifically World War II.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's just overdone.
Not to mention, I'm just not the type that likes to play around with a bunch of old technology. Give me the new stuff, or even stuff that doesn't even exist yet.
You see,
that's my style.
Yeah, exactly. You see those games where you're like, you got like the rifle and you're lining up the irons, you know, and you're,
yeah,
you know, to hell with that. Give me the night scope, the mm-hmm. night vision scope, and I'm gonna sit in a building somewhere. Five
laser
miles
sightings
away.
And stuff.
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hell
right?
Yes, that's what I want. And this one, it looks just like the same crazy Battlefield stuff that you had before, where you had, you know, helicopters, you know, and tanks and everything you could possibly imagine. Dudes running around with M60s and stuff, just mowing people down. The graphics of this, though, blew my mind. I mean, it looks pretty damn real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the character models looked really good. So I'm pretty excited to see something like that, because it's been a long time since I played a game like that, so I'm starting to get the itch for it again. You know mm-hmm. how just sometimes you're like, oh man, I gotta play something like that again, and I think Battlefield 2 might be where it's at, because I haven't seen anything else that gets me all, you know, nice and excited like that, like, oh, I'm gonna go shoot some people now, like, at least in a more realistic setting anyway.
Right.
You know, I'm actually still waiting for Tactical Operations Crossfire, which is a mod from Real Tournament 2004 that, needs to come out real soon, so I can play it. Now, we have some really good stuff on the GameCube, of all things. Some stuff that's really crazy. Like Fire Emblem, Path of Radiance. Mm-hmm, is right. This looks awesome. This looks really, really cool.
Well, we talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a lot like Advance Wars, but a more fantasy setting. It's a lot harder than Advance Wars, because when a unit dies, it dies. You don't get it anymore.
This one's all animated out, too. You know,
right.
It's just like that. And it doesn't have that, like, weak-ass cel-shading stuff to it.
Mm.
It looks really good. I mean, watching videos of the CGI, it had basically what I would think that anime characters would look like if they were more real, if they weren't so drawn.
Right,
looking,
right.
Which really blew my mind, because usually it's very clear it was drawn. Usually it's very clear it was drawn, and you're just seeing animated sprites that were drawn.
It's supposed to be that way. They do that on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's cel-shaded.
Right.
Which really stands out, and sometimes for better, you know, than sometimes. But the way that they did it in this, they looked like they were, like, took a very realistic approach to it, and yet still maintained, like, the anime look, and it was really cool looking on the, at least the videos and everything.
I'm not a big fan. All the videos that we saw, the battle song was the same. And it's each battle sequence, because you're on a grid, right, for the most of the game.
And this one takes, it's all 3D, too. It's not 2D,
right.
like it has been since they all are.
Right. And so you're moving the guys in the grid, like I said, a lot like Advance Wars, with the same arrows on the grid and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then when you go into the combat, it's a one-on-one thing, and it has this music that's just repetitive for the 10 seconds you're listening to, let alone over and over and over again. And I'm a little worried about that. I'm when I get it, I might have to just turn off the volume,
because
that's kind of disappointing.
Most games like that, I turn the sound off anyway. So, how many times can you hear that same theme over and over? It gets stuck in your head. Look at the Final Fantasy Battle Wind theme. Every single player out there in the world knows that damn theme, because you had to hear it so many times, you know? Exactly. But, you know, the maps for this game, for Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, looked fantastic.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff they do.
Yeah, it looks good. Like, it looks, like, I can't help but say it, it looks real. The characters don't look so real in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They do stand out a little bit as more drawn, more brightly colored, I guess, than the rest of the world, but everything else around them looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they walked and the way they moved around looks pretty good, too. The only problem I had with it was, at one point, I saw a dude on a horse move one square to the side, and the little character basically jumped straight sideways into the next block. So I would have, you know, it would be nice if you'd see him turn and walk or something,
right.
You know? So I don't know if they're going to do that. But it's far from finished, I guess.
Well, that should be kind of close. It's coming out in Japan in a couple months.
Well, that's a lot of time to polish it off, though. I mean, I'm sure it's just stupid little animation things, I'm sure.
Right.
Like, but, and the voices, all the voice acting isn't in yet. So that's going to be another thing that they're going to have to work on, too. And I'm sure they're going to cheap out on that, like, you know, everybody always does, and we're going to get the programmers trying to translate. But it's and the fights aren't like the old ones. I guess the other one, well, the previous ones, they didn't have that up-close combat, right?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they did? For some reason, I was under the impression they didn't have them, because this one, you know, you go into combat, and it feels like a very RPG-style combat when it pulls into the combat, because, you know,
you're not doing anything.
Yeah, you just kind of watch it.
Right.
And it does seem like they could use a little bit of animation there, though, because it was kind of boring. Like, you would see, you know, some badass knight on a horse with a giant axe just take one swing, and it's just like the guy would just kind of be like, ugh. It didn't seem like there was enough pizzazz there.
Yeah, it is kind of odd that they chose not to up the animations for the GameCube. That's how it is. That's how it is in the GBA, and you don't think twice about it because
it's on the Game Boy. Yeah.
And it's quite okay.
Yeah.
But I agree that for when they're putting it up on the GameCube, they should have stepped it up a notch for the animations and stuff.
I really hope they do. I hope they add all kinds of little graphic effects and whatnot. Like, it looks like they're mostly done. The maps and all that looked fantastic to me. When you when you highlight a character, like when you're rolling around the map, you know, it had a nice little detailed information thing about them. It showed like a little close up of their face.
Switch which weapon,
you know,
they carry.
Yeah, I mean, you could do all kinds of cool little stuff. And the menus themselves, I thought, looked pretty neat. It looks like a really, really good game that just needs a little bit more polish. So let's hope they can pull that together. They've added a bunch of, you know, new units to it, too. They got some kind of, like, shapeshifter werewolf dudes or something. They turned into some kind of crazy beast.
Cool.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. Bunch of new customizations. Mm-hmm. Bunch of new skills that, you know, you have the guys that you use all the time. You get new skills and abilities to make it, like, you know, really unique.
Right.
You know, and I really think that's a good idea. I think that's a great direction to go. So
I'm looking forward to this a lot.
The graphics look fantastic, I think. I think it looks pretty good. But the fighting is what bothers me. The fighting is really kind of gets on my nerves. And the music doesn't help either.
No.
So, but that's the Fire Emblem.
The fighting is not quite as boring as it looks on the video, because you pick what you're going to do before you go in. Is how
right,
it works.
Right.
So, yeah, when they're actually fighting, nothing happens. It's just 15 seconds of the action playing out.
Yeah.
But you did previously pick which action.
You know, I wonder
what sword or axe or whatever you're carrying, or what spell you're going to use. Or
I wonder if you're going to be able to turn that off.
What?
Turn off the view combat.
You know, it's possible.
Because I tend to. I get so tired of watching crap like that. It drives me nuts. If I, you know, I do it in stuff like that all the time. I just don't want to watch the combat because I saw it the first 700 times I stabbed the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if that's a good idea. And hopefully hopefully this game will kick some ass, because this is definitely something that we're going to be keeping an eye out here.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? There's one important thing I wanted to say about Civilization IV. They're supposed to be, like, speeding it up so that the end game doesn't get so boring. Because apparently, you know, it's hella fun in the beginning, but it takes so long to do your turns and crap, and apparently they're trying to speed things up quite a bit to keep people in the end game.
When you have, like, 1,200 cities.
Yeah, exactly, and it gets just ridiculous, yeah. Now, Killer 7. The GameCube. This game, I guess, coming out for PS2 also, I guess?
Yeah. I don't think that was originally, but
yeah, I don't think so either, but whatever.
Man, GameCube has a hell of a time getting exclusives.
Yeah, they do. I can't blame the companies, though. I mean, the numbers are clearly with Sony, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this game gets so much positive hype that I cannot fathom how this game could suck. And yet I sit here, and I read, and I read, and I watch video after video, and it just doesn't look very good.
Yeah, I give it points for style. I think it's a kind of a cool idea, and there's way too much shading.
Yeah, yeah.
And the camera angle, the camera is, like, bizarre.
I'm going to call that rat cam.
It's like hip view. It looks up at their hip.
It's like, yeah, because it's hella low on the ground. It's like looking up at your dude like you're staring at his ass the whole time.
Yeah, and when you actually go to shoot things, you have to pull a button and then you go into first person.
Yeah.
And it's not very fluid.
Now, what this is, though, is you play some, like, old crusty dude in a wheelchair, Harmon Smith. He has 7 personalities. He's multiple personality disorder. I'm not sure what his original personality is, but you're like a hired assassin. You gotta go out and kill people. And of the 7 personalities you have, you can become those 7 different people. They all have different skills, so that's, you know, the whole thing right there.
Different preferred weapons.
Yeah, 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 like the gangster guy.
Well, he looked like he was, like, sick in the head or something. He walked around all funny and
but a lot of them have
like, practically upside down. The gun was,
yeah.
Like,
And did you notice when they, almost all, even the girl kind of walked like she had that weird lurch to her. Like there was something wrong with him in the head or something. That I'm not so sure
about. Well, the guy has multiple personalities.
Yeah, but Jesus. You know, there's so many different ways they could have done this. And the way they did it, okay, you get points for art, for artistic value. That's it. But the rest of this doesn't look very good. Even when you go to, like, turn down a corner, it gets confusing. Because you come to, like, a door.
Sure, crazy fractal... Yeah. I don't know how else to... Like shards of glass come up, and you have to pick which way you
want to go. Now, it makes sense, because, you know, it shows you the map. You know, and it tells you can go to the hallway, you can go to the bathroom, you can go on the balcony.
It's
but, like,
really weird.
It's very strange. It does have a very surreal, dreamy feel to it. Like, you're not quite all there, and there's some weird stuff going on. And there's some really weird enemies in that, too. I mean, really, really bizarre looking
really
stuff.
Weird.
But it doesn't make it fun. It's extremely cel-shaded. The controls sound like they're going to be crap. From everything I read, it sounds way too ridiculous to control. Had a good idea, though, but I don't know. I mean, it's sure getting a lot of hype.
We'll have to see. I mean, it
exactly.
Looks, it's one of those games that you just can't tell.
Killer
I have
seven.
No idea.
I It's going to be something I wouldn't play, though. It's got to be something I wouldn't play. And this was a sad, sad thing. You know, it's like, I hate finding games, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to play this crap, you know? It bothers me. Okay, check this out. GameCube, Nintendo, coming up with the weirdest stuff, okay? They've got a pinball, real-time strategy game set in feudal Japan, and the music is, like, old-school feudal Japan chants Japanese dudes in their robes praying on the highest moon and, you know, the highest peak on the full moon in Japan and whatever. I mean, it's weird sounding stuff. Which is, I'm sure there's actually some pretty good stuff in there. Cause I believe it or not, have music that sounds like that, and it's pretty good stuff. But what I did hear of it was a little too much.
Yeah.
But, I don't know how to explain this. You've got a battlefield.
You have a pinball battlefield.
A pinball, yeah. It's like a pinball table.
Right.
But it's a battlefield.
Right.
With dudes. And, like, guns and...
They're coming after you, and you send out dudes to them, and you're shooting around this big, giant ball, and... I have no idea.
I like pinball games.
Do
pinball
you?
Is fun. I don't like pinball computer games, though. Like, I'll go play pinball at an arcade, because it's blast.
Right, right.
But on a computer, or a console even, it's never that good. It's never the same experience. Now, I've played some good ones. If anybody remembers Epic Pinball for the PC back in the DOS days, that was a fun pinball game, particularly that Android map they had. That was a cool pinball game. I don't know what they did so right about it. I don't know what it was, but it was a fun game. Since then, there was one on the TurboGrafx-16, I believe, some kind of a pinball game there that I did enjoy a little bit. Then we had crap like Crew Ball, like Motley Crue. Crew Ball on something. I think that was on the Genesis.
Yeah,
and then Sonic Spinball, I didn't like that much. I mean, I just... It seems like a hard thing to do.
And more importantly, I don't even really understand what this game's all about. I mean, I can't quite get it.
Well, there's hordes of enemies coming from the top down. It
right.
looks like if they go into the little... Like, where the ball falls down in, right? Like, in a regular pinball game, that little hole down... There's, like, your Emperor dude or something standing down there.
Right.
So it seems like he's under attack when he's down there. So you're launching this ball around. Now, I didn't see any ramps or anything, which was rather disappointing. It was just like a plane... Just imagine, like, dirt. It was just a battlefield with, like, the occasional little tower put up by the bad guys, you know, and enemies would just storm you. And you flick your little thing, and, you know, the little flippers, and the ball shoots
knock
up.
Knock down
and,
the enemy.
Yeah, and knocks them down. You send out troops every now and again.
You can tilt it.
You can tilt the battlefield, which is really, really bizarre. But it does look like it's pretty entertaining, though. That's the thing.
It could be.
Yes, it could be. It's got a very neat idea, though. You know, I mean, I've never played anything like that before.
No, that's true.
You know, so I do think it's a great idea. There's even items and shit out there. I don't know if you happen to notice that or not, but there's, like, there's stuff that you can pick up with the ball.
Mm.
You know, like items. So I don't know how in-depth these items get, because I never, you know, I didn't find, like, an item list. We just, details at E3 are scarce. You get video clips and a few highlights, you know, and you gotta piece the rest together and pray for the best. But there was, like, hearts out there that I'm sure restored health to your Emperor dude who was
right,
at the bottom,
right.
You know, hacking and slashing away at the horde of enemies that, you know, you suck and can't knock over with your ball. But it looked like a pretty interesting game. It's called Odama. And it's coming out for the GameCube one of these days. I don't know what to think about it. It does look pretty good, though. It's very interesting, and I got some high hopes for it. So we shall see. On to PlayStation 2 news. Dragon Quest VIII, which we probably know better as Dragon Warrior over here in the States.
This looks like it's going to be awesome. There's been way too few regular old-fashioned, what I'm going to call Super Nintendo-style Japanese RPGs.
16-bit RPG, maybe. Yeah.
Way too few recently. Now, on the flip side, I am glad that they're getting away from it at least somewhat. There were too many of them, and they were all just the same. But that's what I grew up on. That was my childhood staple, was the 16-bit RPG. And it's nice to have some of those come back. And they even have, like, the same kind of sounds.
Yeah, they do.
I noticed that. And the, you know, I have actually never played one of these Dragon Warriors.
You know what else Kobar's never played? That I found out today, lovely internet.
Uh-oh.
The interweb is going to unleash its wrath on you.
Oh, no.
He's never played a Dreamcast before. He keeps pointing at mine, calling it a Saturn, by the way. Good lord. All right, carry on.
No, I played the Crazy Taxi in the store once.
In the store once.
All right. But, so I don't know if this has been true in the past, but this time at least.
That's why when I said, oh, now I know why you didn't get all excited when you were looking at the enemies, because I was going crazy, going, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah.
They're all the old school enemies. They had a bunch of the old school enemies, like those blue slime things and those crazy golem dudes and all those guys. I remember kicking their asses many times in the past.
So I don't know about the past, but at least this time around, the guy who created the characters for Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z did the characters for this. And it looks like it. The characters are really cool looking.
Okay.
It's solid cell shading.
It looks good. The character design looks good. It doesn't look like, okay, the Dragon Ball Z guy, I guess, designed it or whatever, but they don't look ridiculous. They don't look like Dragon Ball Z people.
Right, but you can tell that it was designed by the same guy.
I can't. Don't ruin it for me, because I can't stand that crap. It's garbage. Yeah. I hate it. But the design of it, really, it looks good. And the graphics of the game itself, outstanding. I mean, just the look of this game alone, I really wanted to play it.
I really enjoy well-done cell shading.
This comes out soon. November.
Yeah.
November, and actually there's a date for the Japanese release of this, November 27th, Dragon Quest VIII.
No, 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 no. The Japanese release was November of last year.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
The English release is November.
See, I knew I should have wrote the year down.
Yeah, the Japanese got it in November of 2004.
Four? Ah, the bastards.
But, phrase B, we're actually getting not even the Japanese version, but more than the Japanese version. I hate it when they take stuff out, because the English, the American audience can't handle it, or whatever they think. It bothers the heck out of me. Final Fantasy does that all the time. They chop off the last little bit.
Uber part
right,
of it, yeah.
Right, the crazy mobs that you have to be all hella Uber to fight. They always take those out.
Yeah, so we get, this is, you said the Japanese version and more, though. They enhance the,
GUI. Apparently it was pretty ghetto. And they enhance little things here and there, but we have everything that they have.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I cannot wait, because I love this series. I may have not played them all, but I remember playing 1, 2, and 3, I believe, on my Nintendo, I think. And I love I used to do Iron Man, Dragon Warrior 1, where you make your guy and never save. Just to see how long you can go. It's so fun! You know, I used to play the crap. I got that free in Nintendo Power one time.
Oh.
They sent us maps and all kinds of cool stuff, and they sent you Dragon Warrior 1 for free.
Wow.
Yeah, that was dope. I played the crap out of that. Then later on, but you only had one guy. It was just your dude, your one guy, the same guy. Yeah, it was fun as hell, but, you know, it's like, oh, man, this game Final Fantasy comes out, and I got four dudes, you know? So that was great. But then was it 2? I'm pretty sure in 2, you got the ability to have a party. And in this one, it looks like you've got a party also, because they were showing, you know, the dude with the sword, and then the mage chick with the fireballs, and then two other guys, I thought.
Yeah, there's at least four, and you have four on the screen at one time.
That's sweet. God, it looks fun. It really does. This is old school RPG at its best here, I think. This is.
And it's getting 9.5 to 10 all over in Japan.
November cannot come soon. November's gonna suck! God damn it. How am I gonna have to afford an Xbox, new games, Dragon Warrior?
I'm not so sure I'm gonna be buying an Xbox right out the gate.
I think I have to. I think I have to. I must. I think it's a requirement. Because you know what? I'm not going to do the show and just talk about it. I want to be able to play some of these games, you know?
Right.
So, you know what else is coming out for the PlayStation 2, which I saw this coming a mile away, and I'm sure everybody did, and they're really happy about it, too, and I could really kind of care less. Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence. Already a remake of the classic Metal Gear Solid 3 that just came out a few months ago. I guess they changed up the camera. Well, they didn't change, they added a camera. Because I don't know if people were having issues or what, but they added some kind of crazy third-person extra camera deal, which apparently you can switch to on the fly. So that if you just decide you need a different view on something, you can just go ahead and, you know, flip that thing around and bam, you're good to go.
It's Subsistence?
Subsistence. Like
instead of Substance?
Yeah. Subsistence was 2, this one's Subsistence, yeah.
Because it's Snake Eater?
Yes. Isn't that great? Yeah, they're geniuses. They added a multiplayer mode where you've got crap like team battle mode or snake versus enemies mode. I don't know. I guess it needed something else.
Not quite sure how that would really work.
Better than skateboarding. Remember they had skateboarding in the second one?
Did they? Really?
Yeah, they had like a skateboarding mode to show off some skateboarding game they were coming out with. But it was
a flat out missed that.
Yeah, but it was on. I had.
I own it.
Have you played it?
Yeah.
How far?
You
get on the boat, huh? That's as far as I get to. I get like 3 rooms into the boat. On the oil, the tanker thing. I don't get very far at all.
But yeah. I suck at those games.
I don't like the controls in that game. But the cool part, and I guess this is where they would probably really, really do well at selling this game, I think, is for big, big fans. This is us talking to you, Rybo. Of the Metal Gear series here, where they, on the Subsistence disc, Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence disc, it's going to have versions of Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake, which have only been available in Japan. I said Metal Gear, not Metal Gear Solid. These were on the Nintendo. Metal Gear. Famicom.
Whoa.
This is old school. And I guess I imagine they probably beefed him up a little bit. You know, we're probably talking about like some kind of a Final Fantasy Origins kind of deal, Dawn of Souls.
Maybe.
Maybe. It might be a straight port, you know.
And seeing as how it's already a game on its own, it might not be.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It sounds pretty good for fans of the series, but I bet they're pretty pissed off. They already bought it, and now they gotta buy it again.
Yeah.
Why don't they just release all this crap at the same time? Or like 2 years from now? You know, take some time. Mm-hmm. Are you that hurting for money? I guess so. Not too happy about the release timing of this thing. It kind of pisses me off. SOCOM 3. Big PlayStation 2 game. I see people buy this crap all day long. Apparently this is the thing going on the PlayStation for first-person shooters.
And I don't get it. I don't get the whole team-based thing on a console.
I get it. They don't have computers.
I mean, you need keys for all the different freaking orders you have to give.
I guess.
You need keys.
Well, I mean, when you're playing with people online, it comes with a headset, so you can talk to your, you know, buddies.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess that's the big appeal, but, you know, get a computer, and then you've got, like, 700 games like this, not just SOCOM.
And you can
so
also
stop telling me how great SOCOM is when it's not. It just happens to be the only thing going, okay, on the PlayStation 2. But SOCOM 3's coming out pretty soon. I guess they're working on it. The graph, I don't know, it doesn't look that special to me at all. It looks like SOCOM 2. It looks like SOCOM 1, you know, they had cool commercials, though. I saw commercials for this. Dudes, like, blowing each other up, and they're, like, in their underwear sitting at home, and then one dude's, like, in the military, so that was kind of cool. But, like, you know.
That was for 2, wasn't it?
Probably. I don't even know how I saw that commercial. I must have downloaded it or something. But I don't know. It doesn't, not my style of game. You know, there's too many of these on the computer, but if you're a SOCOM fan, I'm sure you can expect great things from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I expect great things from? Soul Calibur 3. Now, I cannot remember if we talked about this before or not, but I don't care, because it's so awesome, because Soul Calibur 2 was a blast. Wolf and I used to play the first one in the arcade, where it was called something else, like Soul Edge or something like that. It was awesome, and we played Soul Calibur 2. We both ended up with the Xbox version, because they released it on all three,
right.
You know, with the special characters and everything.
I have the GameCube version.
Oh, really, with Link?
Yeah, I had to get Link.
Yeah, yeah.
He kind of sucks, but I had to get it.
See, I didn't get it. I didn't get it based on Spawn. I got it because I figured it'd be the better of the three, and I'm certain it is, but I'm also certain that I can't play it since my Xbox doesn't read anything anymore. Well,
and at the time, I had the choice between the Cube and the PlayStation.
Oh, okay, yeah, well.
It was all about, like,
Yeah, yeah, I would have totally taken the Cube version over the PlayStation version, too, if those are my choices. But this one now, Soul Calibur 3, is a PlayStation 2 exclusive.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not so happy about that. You've got your 20 classic characters returning. You've got, you know, like all the dudes you had before, with three new guys. And I don't know who the three new dudes were, but I did remember one of them kicked ass.
It was a chick with, like, this bladed hoop.
Yeah, the green druid-looking chick.
She did look like she looked like she kicked some ass.
Yeah, didn't she? And it was really cool how she used her weapon.
Like, stepping through the hoop and all, it's like she had a hula hoop.
It was like she was like a jazzercise instructor, so with blades on a hula hoop or something.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
It was a pretty cool design for a weapon, though, yeah. I think. I mean, I'm pretty excited about this, just to play this new character. But I don't know if she's going to replace Taki, the ninja. I play her all the time, because she just kicks ass.
I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but the dude with the staff, it starts with a K. Kylie or something.
Somebody's ass I kicked is the ninja chick.
No.
We'll have to play this crap. I'm not very good, but I do like it. But yeah, the cool thing about this one, well, okay, first of all, they are making some combat changes to the system. Because there's been a lot of complaints about how like crazy the guard impact thing is and the dodge issue, where you can dodge like everything hella easy. So
the problem I had with 2 is there was like this all-purpose button.
Yeah.
One that did a good move, depending on how close or far away you were from the dude. What is up with that?
They need to utilize some more of those buttons, I guess, in the controller. But it simplifies it a little bit, I guess. But I don't know. What's wrong with, you know, small, medium, and fierce punching kicks?
That's straight up, I'm going to be a button masher.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is sit there and press that one button to move around the stick a little
bit. Yeah, but if you're playing against somebody really good, that doesn't work. So you probably beat my ass, because I'm not really good at Soul Calibur, but I have fun playing it. They had a really, really cool adventure mode in Soul Calibur 2 that blew my freaking mind. For a fighting game, I had so much fun. I imagine something like that is going to be in this one, where you take your character through, you know, like a story mode, and you get to unlock, like, I mean, there's like 200 weapons you could unlock or some shit in Soul Calibur 2. I'm sure this one's going to live up to it and blow it away. I'm sure. It's just going to be, I'm sure, fantastic. It's going to be a great fighting game because on top of the 23 characters they provide, as cool as the little green druid chick with the hoop is going to be and whatnot, you can create your own character.
Really?
Which usually doesn't work out too well. But the last time I remember seeing a game, like I remember playing One Must Fall, where you could like, I think you could create your robot in that. I think you could. And then they had some kind of a fighting game on the Nintendo 64 that I believe you could create your fighter on, which did not work either.
One Must Fall was that crap-ass robot game on the PC.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Wolf used to play that shit day in and day out.
God.
That was the bomb.
He has some strange taste in games, let me tell you. That guy.
Yeah, we need to get him back on the show sometime. We need to get him, but we can't keep him on the phone the whole time because he's too hard to hear and understand when he's in China. Like, the connection is so bad.
Plus, the longer he stays in China,
the worse his English gets is bad enough. But I'm sure he's got all kinds of cool stuff to tell us, though, about, like, piracy and whatnot. You know, I'm sure he's already playing, like, an Xbox 295. You know, because it's not quite the same thing and they're going to mislabel it, you know.
Right, right. With two X's on each side. Xbox.
Yeah. You know it's going to have some crazy Chinese pirate weird shit like that.
If we can understand him when we get him on.
Yeah. We're going to have to get him on to talk about him for just a little bit, talk about what's going on over there, see if he's seen any neat things about games and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I've got some... You know what? I think the PlayStation 2 stole the show, this show, because you know what? Okami.
This game looks crazy.
All right, we were talking earlier about games that you hadn't heard of that you know you saw and blew your mind.
Apparently, we're both been living under a rock for not knowing about this.
I know
game.
Where I've been living, NORAD. I don't get out of EverQuest very often these days.
But man, this game is crazy looking. It's. I'm assuming that the graphic technology is cel shading.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's not normal cel shading. It looks like it's like feudal Japanese cave paintings or something. It's like,
yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. Good, because, you know, I tried to write it down and I got nothing out of it. I got paint, wolf thing, cell shading, trippy. That's what I have down to describe this game.
It's the only problem I have with it, it looks very grainy, and I can't tell if that was the videos I was looking at or if they did that on purpose because it's part of the art style. I could get around that, though, because this game looks crazy.
At first, I didn't know what to think. Yeah, I mean, okay, you're the sun god.
Right.
You basically, from what I gathered about the story, was that some person, I don't know what it was, or some beast, something, pulled some kind of sword out of a stone and unleashed evil on the world or something.
Yeah, there was an evil demon got trapped in this sword.
Yeah, and it got released.
Right.
Imagine that, you gotta save the world now. Now here's the thing. I guess this demon thing or whatever took all the color out of the world and made it all black. I mean, did you see all... Okay, I thought I was making it up, but I wasn't sure if I read it or just dreamed about it. Like, took the color out of the world. So it's very... At first, it's very dark. The game is really dark. You see, like, land and your dude, and that's... There's not much that you can... You can make out, like, a rock and hills and stuff, but it's really kind of strange. But it's cool, because as you progress through the game and kill the bosses, it gets more colorful.
No, I believe it said you kill anything and you get...
Oh, really?
You, like, gain ink or whatever the sword deal is.
Okay.
I believe I saw that.
It's something else. Now, it sounds... I think we're doing a terrible job of trying to describe how cool this is.
You need to look
is.
Into this game.
Yeah.
Because it's, you also have, like, a paintbrush. And during certain situations, like, say, you learn about a new constellation and the demon or whatever this big evil has taken stars out of the sky as well. And so you find a constellation and you paint stars back into this constellation, and now you gain a new power.
And there's like 13 powers, 13 runes or something like that, yeah.
And you, or you go up to a bridge, and the bridge knocked out, and you go into this paint mode, and you paint the bridge back, and bam, it's there. Or, you have to paint, a tree back, or it's really...
Maybe that's what they're saying about the more you kill, you gain ink. Because when you kill things, they kind of explode with what looks like coins, you know, like
right.
you would in any other kind of game, right? Like rings if you're playing Sonic. You pick them up. It must be ink that you're picking up that you need to colorize the world by painting random crap in it. Maybe that's what it is. But it does seem like it's very... I keep saying it's dark because there's like no ground. It reminds me of... Well, okay, there's ground that you're on, but there's no ground around the ground you're on. You know, like, you feel like you're... You ever played Toe Jam and Earl, the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how, like, you just came to the edge of the world and it was just black out
mm-hmm.
there? That seemed like what I was seeing here. There was just space out there. And you ran around you're a wolf.
Right.
You're a white wolf.
That can kick ass.
And it's really, and you got this little bouncy...
Very thing.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's bright green or blue or something. It bounces up and down on your head and like rides along with you or something. And it talks in a very strange, disturbing, like you'd have nightmares voiceover. This game is called Okami. And I don't know if that means something.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got to. It must. And whatever.
I have to play this game though when it comes out because this looks like it's going to be really cool.
It's very, very interesting. And I started out not liking it was the thing. You know, I started out going, yeah, whatever. This looks like shit.
It does sound, the way we're describing it and whatnot, does sound kind of odd. But
it's very trippy.
You
feel like you need to like blink a lot. You know, because everything looks so weird in it. But it's a good weird.
Yeah.
It's really strange. I mean, you have all kinds of the normal assortment of moves and stuff, too, as like you're a wolf dude. You'd run around and, like, ram things and break open barrels and find... But it's not that gay. It's not like you're breaking open barrels and finding coins. There's shit in the environment. You know, like, trees and bushes and stuff. And you can climb up, like, cliffs. I seen him once jump, and he, like, grabbed a hold of a cliff, you know?
Yeah, you can double jump onto a wall.
And then it's got really neat effects, too. Like, when you hit the ground, you see, like, leaves puff up off the ground
right,
or whatever.
Right.
I mean, they're totally not laying there kind of leaves. They just kind of appear out of nowhere. It's just for the effect. But it still looked cool. You know, I mean, you have a neat little black shadow that was chasing you, and at least it looked like when he was jumping, you'd see like a black streak behind him, which I thought really just added to the effect of it. The game really have a couple of hits of acid, and then let's go play this game,
oh
people.
God.
That's that's what needs to. That's gonna happen. Somebody's gonna do this. I know it's gonna happen, and then they're gonna write us an email and be like, "All right,
don't do it."
That was a bad. I woke up, my house had paint all over it. Little wolves and stuff, and yeah, I can't. That's the only thing I can think of. It seems like somebody was on some serious drugs when they designed this game. But it seemed like a good way, not like what the hell were we talking about before that sucked? Killer 7.
Mm.
Those are bad drugs.
Right,
you need to stay up, kids. Just say no to Killer 7. But if somebody hands you Okami, I think it's an experience that everybody needs to go through.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's good weird
right.
though.
Now, at least as far as we can tell right now.
Yeah. I mean, but we did see, there was actually quite a bit of information for that game out there,
right.
And it's just like, I'm eating it up now.
Yeah.
Okami. O-K-A-M-I. And,
too much good stuff.
It really does. It looks fantastic. On the complete opposite side of the coin, as far as information goes, we have heard of a game called Black.
Yeah.
Nice, simple title. Nice, simple information. There's 5 screenshots. Nothing else. There's no video. Apparently it was shown to 13 people last year at E3 2004. That's it. Now, what I have been able to scrounge up information. Criterion. The guys that do all kinds of crap, but the one that I care about, recently anyway, is Burnout. Mm. So you got the guys that did Burnout. We're all into blazing speed and a good rush effect feeling for the player. Mm. That really gets the player into the game. They've got a first-person shooter. I hate to mention first-person shooters for consoles because they suck ass, you know. But this is for the Xbox and for the PlayStation 2. And you're like a retired member of you're official but not. Like, you're Black Ops for the government. You don't exist. They didn't send you on any missions, but they did. But you didn't, right? You know, you're one of those guys, okay? You're
caught in the disavow all knowledge.
Exactly. You're not here for anything. You know, you don't know shit. You're not working for our government, any government. You're just some jackass there that's loaded to the teeth with, you know, U.S. weapons. So, and apparently, now, from what I can understand, your team, your ex-team, you're like your ex-Black Ops, right? Your team, which I guess your friends, disappear or something. Like, they're gone all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And so it really, I mean, like, right away, just what little I told you, it's kind of a cool story off the bat. Somebody's burly enough to take out the, you know, a whole Black Ops team by themselves, you know? So right there, you get kind of scared feeling. You know, you're like, oh, man, one man against something that took out six dudes that are just like me. So I think that's kind of a cool feeling for this game. Mm-hmm. But the big thing about this game is they're trying to get you... It sounds like Serious Sam meets, like, Counter-Strike or something. You know what I mean? Like, something realistic, yet utterly ridiculous.
Right.
You know, you've got real weapons. You've got badass weapons. They give you crap like, you know, shotguns, machine guns, grenade launchers, rocket launchers. I mean, you have it all. And they're putting you into a first-person shooter that is gonna play, like... Burnout races, you know, like high speed.
Right,
How's that? High speed shooting with lots and lots of destruction. I mean, you're shooting doors down and they're blowing off the hinges. You're shooting holes in the ceiling and the floor is coming down and there's splintered wood flying everywhere and glass and stuff. It looks really, really cool. Very destructive. It's just called Black. And they won't say it's EA. That's our problem. Yeah. Bastards. So it's like, I don't know, it's a console first-person shooter, but God, if they can make it high speed, you know, and I mean, I cannot knock the guys from Burnout. They're uber, alright? You guys have reached uber status, okay? Because of Burnout has earned you a seat on the fucking throne. So do it with this game, because I would love to play a first-person shooter that I really enjoyed on a console again. I really did like playing Halo. I really did. I didn't think I would. Now I got that demo, you know, I tried playing it at Wolf's and it sucked. I got the demo, that one level, loved it, bought it, played the crap out of it, tried to play any other first-person shooter other than that in GoldenEye, and I can't do it on a console. I can't do it. So I'm hoping they nail those controls on this. I'm hoping that you know, they're able to figure out whatever magic it is that Halo worked, you know, and deliver us a really fun Hollywood-style first-person
craziness,
you know, blockbuster here. So I don't know. It's called Black. It sounds pretty good.
One thing I wanted to mention about the Okami. That's made from the same people that brought us Beautiful Joe.
Oh, okay.
Clover Studios.
Oh, right there. You sold so many people, I bet. Right there, I bet there's a whole group of people going, oh, okay. I'll have to pick this up now. Screw those guys. I don't know what they're talking about, but it's from the guys from Beautiful Joe. You know what I keep thinking? Because somebody told me about this before, and they didn't tell me the details. Mm-hmm. What they said was, you heard of this game called whatever, and they couldn't remember the name. They're like, it's oh something. And I could have sworn they were talking about Otogi, which is the ninja one on the Sega.
Right.
It's on the Xbox from Sega. And kind of like Shinobi and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I was convinced this is what people were talking about, because I kept saying it had something to do with Japan. And I'm like, you guys are stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. This game's been out for days. They got number two out. So they're coming out with a third one. Should be fantastic. But no, they were talking about this Okami game, which which is definitely the highlight of today's show, I think, because I've been extremely excited to play this. You have to get out there and get some video for this, because we can't describe it. Like, it's just too cool. It looks like your average platformer at first. You're just walking. They even had like a little, like a town and whatnot, and there's like beautiful trees and little water pond looking thing. And
people that think you're just a dog, you try to talk.
Yeah.
Hey, doggy.
Yeah. Nice doggy. And like they put food on your nose and you do a little trick and stuff. And like yeah, I forgot about that. That was pretty awesome. The game really sounds cool. But you know what I want to talk about while we have a few minutes here still was things that you missed, things that you wanted to see at E3. You know,
I wanted to see all of it.
I wanted to see all of it too, but you know, like I wanted to see some special things. You know, like, okay, we know there's a new Conquer coming out. Conquer, the original one, was so much fun. We know there's a new Conquer coming out. They had it there at E3. That's great. We get a little bit more old school. Zelda. Okay, we know there's a new Zelda coming up. Great. Everybody expects that. But what about those games that nobody expected, you know, that didn't happen either, that people want so bad? And I've been thinking about this a lot. I got started thinking about it earlier today for some reason. And, because we were talking about Kobar's lack of Dreamcast time here.
Kobar's lack of a lot of things, actually.
But what I was thinking of was the Grandia series. And I haven't heard anything of a new Grandia game yet, which I still think has the absolute best role-playing game combat I've ever played.
And it did quite well, didn't it? I mean,
I think it did really well.
You think that they would bring out a new one?
I hope so. I mean, they came out with that. Like, they ported Grandia 2 from the Dreamcast over to the PlayStation 2, and I don't think it did very well because everybody already played it on their Dreamcast, you know? Then they had that Grandia Extreme, whatever the hell it was called, where it's, like, mostly combat, which I never played. The combat was fantastic. I didn't have a PlayStation at the time. It was like, yeah, kind of whatever, and it just kind of got blown over, you know? But I think the world needs a new Grandia. So I'm gonna have to like keep an eye out for some shit like that, you know, some like a new Grandia game would be dope. Bionic Commando.
So now I swear I have heard that they're coming out with a new Bionic Commando.
I would kill to find proof of that. Just to see one screenshot. Just let me taste. Let me just get one little suck off of that Bionic Commando nipple. Come on, give it to me. I gotta play it because Bionic Commando has amazing memories for me. Like, I've just been thinking about all these old games lately. Like, there was this one called, oh, Jesus Christ, it's a boat racing game. As dumb as this sounds, okay, Kobar's giving me the stare of, huh, again. All right, now this is the same look that he gave me today when I told him I played Virtua Tennis for months. Okay, because Virtua Tennis was the bomb.
But, no!
Yes, it's called, I think it was called, was it Cobra Triangle? I think there's this boat racing game on the on the Nintendo. I can't remember what the hell it's called. Damn it! And it's not quite just a race game though. You have this little red boat, right? And it controls a lot like RC Pro Am.
Okay.
Oh Jesus.
No.
Oh no. All right. It seems to control a lot like RC Pro Am, where you have this little boat and you go down this little waterway, this little path. And there's guns and shit shooting at you, and other boats that race along with you that are just, like, there's tons of them, they're just other guys. They're not, like, it's not involved, like, it's not, like, they don't have names and shit, they're just generic enemy boat one, you know?
Right.
And you shoot them, and then there's, like, rocket launchers and crap that, like, are on the land shooting at you, and then you've got, like, hella jumps. The game is all about, like, the crazy jumps and stuff, you know? So you get power-ups, though. So you're cruising along this thing, trying to not get blown away, and you're shooting boats that are in front of you and everything. And, you know, you're taking all these crazy jumps, and there's power-ups in the air, and they give you, like, a power-up bar. And, like, let's say you get one power-up, so you get to pick what upgrade you want. And if you have, like, 1 point, you can put, like, a speed upgrade. If you get 3 points, you can put, like, a gun upgrade, some shit like that. And you keep getting these power-ups, so it keeps building up your power. So eventually you have, like, 6 power upgrades on you and 5 speed upgrades, you know, by the end of the game. But holy Christ, there's all kinds of different little play modes in it, too. Like, you get the race ones where you're just trying to, you know, race and beat all the guys. There's ones where you're trying to get to the finish line at a certain time limit or whatever. Maybe that's what it is, because I don't think you actually race anybody. There's ones where it's, like, you're going uphill, and there's, like, this thing that pushes you if you get too far behind. Like, if you wreck it all, you're screwed. Like, it's really bizarre. And then there's ones where you're, like, jumping over logs, trying to race down these things. And there's boss fights. There's, like, save the drowning people ones where, like, there's, like, a diamond-shaped thing of people that are drowning. And enemy boats, you're in the middle. And then the level's pretty big. And enemy boats come flying into this circle and grab one of the people, right? So, like, they're attached to the back of the boat. And they go flying off of the person. Now, you have to go cruise after the boat that took it, shoot the boat, grab the person, and drive him back to the thing. But while you were out there doing that, two more boats came in and took guys. Right. And you have to save, like, a minimum amount of guys. Then there's boss battles with giant, like, sea demons and shit like that. I mean, the game is so fat for a Nintendo game. I can't remember what the hell it's... I think it's Cobra Triangle, but I can't remember. But, oh my god, why don't we have something like that that looks like Hydro Thunder, though? Mm. You know?
That actually is a pretty fun arcade game.
Yeah, and guess what? See, now had you a Dreamcast, you'd be able to play it in all its glory at your house. Because that game is the bomb. But, you know, it's games like that that leave the impression on me that I really kind of, I've been missing. I'm seeing how many generic World War II shooters, mm-hmm. you know, and it's you know, we made a joke last week about Ribo being jaded about video games, you know, and he's not the only, we just give him a lot of shit because he talks about it more often than anybody else, but everybody is. Everybody, I think, is, you know, we see the same crap used up, but some of the good ideas get thrown away. I mean, the two games off the top that I mentioned right there, Bionic Commando and whatever the hell, Cobra, I think it's Cobra Triangle, God, I can't remember. Those two games, have you ever played anything like those two games? Bionic Commando, where you're like a military guy that's like a...
That's the one that you have the thing that you shoot up and...
You didn't even know what I'm talking about. Yeah. 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 Where you're fighting against like Hitler and you've got the little bionic arm. You can't jump and you have to swing around. And then you've got like all those cool little items you can use to go... And then you pick where you go on the map and there's all this different stuff going on. I've never played another game like that. Spider-Man is probably the closest thing I've played to that and it's not even that good.
Right.
You know? And then, that Cobra Triangle, whatever the hell it's called. That game, I've never seen anything close to that, mm-hmm. you know, and they were absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I'm kind of sad because those games, they have such good memories for me that I almost don't want them to make a new one and screw it up.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, it would be original now. It would be something different if, you know, because we're seeing the same games over and over and over and over and over now. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, I mean, reach back into the past and pull some of those good things out.
Yeah, it's really quite a shame that they're just going for the formula now, like they do in movies.
Yeah, huh, that's exactly what's happening. I'm kind of pissed now. I'm, like, all depressed. I'm, like, seriously tripping now. And I don't know, like, we might as well just cut it early. We're only a few minutes early. I'm all depressed now. And we're only short 10 minutes.
Yeah,
but I'm, like, not happy now. I'm, like, mad at the industry or something. And it's a billion degrees in here, and I'm starting to stick to my chair.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because I blow too much hot air. We're out of here.
Yeah.
Since that Pac-Man thing in Space Invaders.
These days it's blood, guts, Grand Theft Auto. In fact, parents might be surprised to know that some of the most violent games in the country are also the most popular. Fox's Gary Nuremberg reports.
In a new report, the National Institute on Media and the Family says parents should prevent their teens from playing video games like the Guy Game. The watchdog group says the technically stunning and enormously popular Grand Theft Auto ignores the fact that stealing cars is wrong.
This segment of games keeps getting more realistic and they keep pushing the envelope.
As technology makes video games more realistic,
social science tells us that there's a correlation between violence in the entertainment media and violent behavior.
Senator Joe Lieberman singled out the newly released JFK Reloaded game, where players can win $100,000 for digitally replicating shots fired by Lee Harvey Oswald.
It's outrageous. It is despicable.
A video game industry group says the game rating system is accurate and a reliable way for parents to make judgments. The watchdog group says retailers have made progress keeping the most violent games rated M out of the hands of children, and it released a list of games it recommends as appropriate for teens. It says there are many good games, but...
The bad games are worse than ever.
Meaning parents should take care if buying video games as holiday gifts. In Washington, Gary Nuremberg, Fox 13 News.
And if you would like to read the video game report card, you can go online to mediafamily.org. You can also find a list of video games to avoid and ones that are recommended for teenagers.